get your boys and bring the noise and just swing it. And for the people, sing it.
All right. Love it. Love it. Hey, Rock. Dude, I see you bobbing over there, man. What's up?
Yeah, that was back in his heyday. Yeah. I know he jammed to that song
it's
at some point.
It's all good. It's all good. Hey, we're back. So Tate Champions Live. I need to mention we're here every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. So make sure, first of all, I would like to say thanks to everyone that listens. You know, I get a lot of feedback, and I know that there's people that listen consistently on a weekly basis. So we really appreciate the support. So please continue to listen. And again, we're on Soul Take, the show is Soul Take Champions Live. And we're on urbanmediatoday.com. And we're also on Twitter. And I'll make sure everyone gets that Twitter information as well. So I'll squeeze that in. But Rock, like I said before we broke, I'm not letting you off the hook, man. I told you before, you've been on this show too many times to know you can't come in here, not answer questions and try to hedge and all that kind of stuff, man. I'm gonna send you on another show, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, who's the worst fans in the NFL?
I don't know. Why can't I don't know be an answer?
I like the answer.
So who's close? I mean, I know
Cleveland.
Thank you. I was gonna say I know you wrote a book and everything, and you might be trying to get some book sales. There has to be something behind that. And that's where I'm going. Cleveland has the worst fans in the NFL. Philly is...
because they got the worst team.
It's kind of close. No, here's the deal with Cleveland fans. And I'm talking more about the Browns fans than the other sports fans. I don't like any of them up in Cleveland, but especially the Browns fans. It's like me with the Pirates. If the Pirates are sorry, I'll tell you they're sorry. I'm not trying to talk smack about them or anything. You know, the Browns fans, they know they're sorry, but they still try to talk smack. You know, they do crazy things at the games. I've been to games up there. They want to fight you. They want to fight. They want to fight little kids. And, I mean, this is serious stuff, man.
That is serious. You know, I don't mean to laugh.
Slashing tires in the parking lot. It's only a game. You know, if your team isn't good, well, your team isn't good. They won't be good this year either. All right? So, I mean, they should be used to it. So, like I said, Rock, it's like me with the Pirates. The Pirates, you know, they've been sorry. They only had three good years out of the last 24 years. So I'm not going to run around talking smack on the Pirates. It doesn't make any sense. So that's just one of the reasons I think the Cleveland fans are the worst fans in the NFL. And the sad thing about it, I kind of felt sorry for them when they didn't have a team. I was rooting for them to get a team.
I was too.
You mean know? When the team left Cleveland and went to Baltimore?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was wrong. I thought that they should have a team. And again, I try to be objective about it, even though I don't like the fans.
Right.
You know, they're committed to their team. And I think if you have a fan base that's committed to their team, you know, they should get credit for it. So, all right, Rob, we got that out the way, man. I'm glad you finally came up with a reasonable answer.
Yeah, but I never went to Cleveland to see their fans, so I couldn't really.
I don't try to backtrack now, man. You said Cleveland is Cleveland. I agree with you. What is he trying to do, Warren? It's that book again, huh?
My second book.
Your second book. All right. So, hey, let's talk about our girl. Sorry about that, but let's talk about our girl Serena. You know, like I said, there's some things going on, man. I just don't like. You know, they're trying to hit my girl Serena from different angles. You know, first thing when she came back to play, they had her ranked, you know, close to 500. Didn't make any sense, so she had to fight to get her ranking, you know, to a reasonable level. And I know that the U.S. Open, when that's played in September, they'll do the right thing as well. So I'm happy about that. But, you know, she shouldn't always have to fight. And I just read an article where it says Serena Williams hit out against or again at testing discrimination. Serena Williams has complained on social media that it's test Serena time again, as she wants more hit out at the frequency with which she is selected for anti-doping tests. So, you know, she put it out there on Twitter that every time she turns around, they're hitting her up for drug tests. And she's being tested more than anyone in the game. And I would like to hear, you know, your comments on it. I think it's totally wrong. I think there needs to be a policy for the WTA, World Tennis Association, or whomever is conducting these tests, if it's the United States Testing or Tennis Association. There should be a policy that says everyone is being tested the same way. So what they're doing to her, I'm not sure how they're able to get away with it.
Well,
Warren, go ahead.
The way they're able to get away with it is the word random. And when you have when you can pick and choose any time, whatever governing body does it, and you can just say, okay, whenever I want to, and there's no guidelines, there's no restriction, you know. Discrimination is in everything. It's in sports, it's in politics, it's in education. You know, I totally agree with you. You definitely need to have some kind of standard. It's never going to be the same because it's random, but when you have, it's a problem when you have, you're going after the best player, and the best player has been tested twice as much as the second best most player. The person that has been tested second most is half the number of tests that she's had so far this year. And you know, she's handled it with class, I think. You know, she says she doesn't mind keeping the sport clean. You know, it's a heavy position to be in, being number one, you know. But they're saying something by saying they're trying to catch her if you're testing her that much, that she quote unquote can't be that good, you know, after, you know, having her baby and, you know, all the other family things that she's had to gone through recently, supporting her sister and marriage and all that kind of stuff. But you know, when somebody puts that kind of time in since they were a child, hint, 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 hint.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What's a player, coach? Always a player. Thank you. It's part of you. I mean, you could do things in your sleep, so to speak. I mean, it's been, I've known, there was a few times in my life where I didn't play competitively for more than a year's time. And when I came back to play competitively, I was even better than I left. Because I don't even know how that phenomenon works, but it's like you miss it. You crave it. And if you're like me, you know the power of visualization, and you're always running those plays in your mind. You're dreaming about it, you know, unconsciously, subconsciously, you know. And by the time you get back out there, it's almost like you're a kid again, going, you know, playing with the same type of desire that got you there in the first place. So for anybody to insult her by saying, you know, she's cheating now because she's had a child and she can't be that good, that's nonsense. And I think that she's handling it well. But I definitely think something should be done about it, because it's really unfair, especially if the testing somehow can affect her performance. You know what I mean? I don't know how they what test they do, if it's just a urine test or if it's a blood. I don't know. But whatever they're doing, it's obviously getting on her nerves. But at the same time, it's unfair to test somebody twice as much than the next right. person.
So as I indicated, they need to have a policy
yeah.
that is fair and equitable.
I agree. And if they test one, test all. Make it that random.
Yeah, I mean,
that at certain times you get tested, because they wanted to test Tiger Woods back in the day when he was beating up on everybody.
Right.
Really? They said yeah. someone can't be that good.
Right.
To win like 11 times in 1 year and then 9 the next, you know. It's yeah. like you can't be that good.
And isn't it really counterproductive to say we're going to test the greatest in the sport a lot more than those that are not the greatest, because
they got to do things to get there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you know you're a player that is not elite, you pretty much have the free reign to say, hey, I could do all these things to my body to become elite. And then I'll turn it off at that point in time. So it kind of gives them incentive to do it if they know that they're not going to be tested too often.
Right.
Yeah. You know, versus Serena. But again, you know, something else that Serena has to deal with, you know, something she has to fight for to change the game as far as, you know, what's going on in the game.
Yeah.
So, Rock, I'm not sure if you have any other comments, you know, regarding this situation.
I think he kind of said it all. He said it perfectly, especially the part, once a player,
always a player.
And, you know, she's 36 years old.
Don't matter.
You know, just had a child. And even though she just lost
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. You know, she really did very good. I mean, being in a championship, you know, that's outstanding.
You know what? I think y'all remember Marianne Jones, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Serena was impacted by her fall from grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her biggest nightmare. That if she's never been tested positive, by the way, just so we know. I mean, let's get that out there,
right.
too.
Right.
If that happens, it would, no matter when it happens now, because if you test positive, it's almost like, oh, you were doing this all along somehow, but you just never got caught. Serena would never put that, her legacy, on the line by taking some kind of illegal, you know, substance. I know it. You know what I mean? So the girl is bad. And she deserves more respect. You know, it's just another, you know, another sign of how far we still have to go as far as, you know, discrimination in America. We have right. we really just have to get better. It's unacceptable for this still this type of behavior, you know, to still be going on.
I agree totally. So again, hopefully they'll put a better policy or a policy in place that will correct it. But since we're talking about drugs and drug and sport, you know, my mind triggered to baseball. And Rock, you're going to have to help me out with this because I had a brain freeze here. But the guy that played for Chicago, the home run hitter.
Sammy Sosa.
There you go.
He used to be dark skinned. Now he's light skinned. You see him on the magazine?
I did. And I was just totally shocked. His change of complexion.
Yes.
And he wasn't reserved about it. He said, hey, this is who I want to be. I bleached my skin or whatever he did. And I was just totally thrown off. I thought, you know, he looked better the way he was.
He did.
And, wow, so I was very disappointed to see that. But since we're talking about drugs, when he did the interview, and the interview was with who? Again, Rock.
I don't know.
You can remember.
I don't know who the interview was.
When he was just recently interviewed, they asked him about, did he use drugs? And he wouldn't come out and answer that question directly. The only thing he would say was, I never got caught on the drug test. Now, if that's your response, I'm automatically thinking you did drugs.
Of course.
He did.
You did steroids.
Yeah, of course. And McGuire.
But at the time, so did Barry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is, at the time, that was not a banned substance when they were doing it.
Mm-hmm. But, what a lot of people don't realize, there's a lot of factors. Baseball knew about it.
Yeah.
Since these guys were home runs.
That's true.
They were benefiting.
Everybody remembers that.
Yeah, they were benefiting baseball, so mm-hmm. they kind of turned away from it.
A blind eye.
Yeah. And then the pitchers were doing it too.
Sure were.
So they were hitting home runs against steroid pitchers.
So it kind of evens out.
Yeah, exactly.
Except what they say, the performance enhancing that some of the hitters were taking would allow you to see the curvature on the ball such that you could see it spinning and you can hit the ball a little bit.
Well, that's some bad stuff. If it could slow down that stuff like the Matrix almost.
Yeah. Well, the reality of it is, and I shared with Kevin, I think, I don't know if it was on this station, that Barry Bonds to date is the only known player with two outs, bases loaded, they were down two runs, he get walked with the bases loaded. I mean, four pitches, automatic walk. So now they're down one with the bases loaded with the number five hitter coming up.
Yeah,
that's how fearful of a hitter Barry was.
Was
that you're going to walk him intentionally with the bases loaded to get to the next guy and take your chances.
And he's my number one baseball player of all time. And
Clemente's mine.
And I'll sit here and say, yeah, he did steroids. And I don't think it should be held against him for the Hall of Fame because, again, baseball knew about it. He was batting against pitchers that were on steroids, and he was a Hall of Fame player even before he started on steroids. But that's a whole different discussion. But since we brought it up, the drug issue with Sammy Sosa, he basically just told on himself by saying, I never felt the drug test. That's not how you answer that. If you didn't do it, you would come straight out and say, there's no way I did that. No way.
I respect him for that answer. Because, at this point, it can only hurt him. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that he's being that transparent, you gotta be a little savvy about it, I guess.
I think because he testified in front of Congress or the Senate.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can't come out and say that.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll get him. They'll get everybody but Trump. it's crazy. Everybody else is held accountable but Trump. So
right.
We'll see what goes on. And, my co-host Bill Neal, who's not here today, he always brings him up and I try to shoot him down because I think we talk about him too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was relevant there. But let's talk about our boy.
Who?
That's going to L.A., the King James. He's doing some great things, man. He put together a new public school that's called I Promise in his hometown, the city of Akron. See, LeBron, he's just doing his thing, man. That's why I love LeBron James. He's the greatest basketball player in the world. But he's a stand-up guy. He cares about his community. He cares about people. He wants to do the right things. And, it almost brings tears to my eyes by talking about it.
But you also know the unfortunate thing that happened.
What's that?
That they defaced his house with the N-word.
Right.
How recently?
In L.A.?
How recently?
I think that was about a month ago.
And there's
a month ago? Really? So that's like the second time
then? Recent.
because you know it happened before, like either a few months ago, yeah, or a year ago. It happened because he's had that house there for more. Like he didn't just move there. He had the right. He had a house in L.A. and he had a house in Cleveland and
yeah.
had a house in Miami.
Yeah, he got houses all
yeah.
over.
And he talked about that with Don Lemon as yeah. well, the CNN interview. So people that are listening, if you do not have an opportunity to listen to that interview, please take time to do so. This I Promise School actually opened this past Monday
yep.
to serve low-income and at-risk students in his hometown of Akron. And it's a public school, and I believe he worked with the people that's part of the Akron schools and pulled it together. And it's LeBron's I Promise School. It focuses on accelerated learning, provides job placement assistance for parents, okay? Has an on-site food bank, supports students with stress from economic causes, gives every student a bike
yeah.
to escape dangerous parts of town and explore, and guarantees free college tuition to the University of Akron. And I'm sure there's more benefits of going to that school as well. But like I said, this just happened on Monday. And they had a big grand opening. And I hate to mention Trump again, but I think he had more people at that opening than Trump had at his inauguration, you know, when he became president. So LeBron is doing outstanding things. And Rob, since I did bring up Trump, share what LeBron said about him.
Well, Don Lemon, as part of that interview, because I watched it yesterday, he asked LeBron, if Trump was sitting across the table from you and you had one thing you could say or want to say to him, what would you say? LeBron said, I wouldn't sit across the table from him. I mean, that's the way that
And he added views, a little bit more.
Well, I didn't want to go into that.
No, well, he added, but I'll sit across from President Obama.
Yeah.
So it's all about wanting to be involved with people who are trying to bring the country together
yeah,
versus dividing us.
He saw him as being very divisive, using sport. And LeBron put it so nicely when he said, sports galvanize people and bring them together and unite. He said, and the president is trying to use a sport to be divisive and divide people. And he just can't get with that. Where sports just bring people together in such a unique way that if you black or white, rich or poor, you just come together and you just unite.
Yeah.
And he said that president will use any tool in his toolbox to divide people. So he'll use the NFL. And when he jumped on Steph Curry, when Curry said, I'm not going to go. And then the president said, well, Donald Trump said, I'm going to disinvite you. He said, how are you going to disinvite somebody who already said they're not going? And so it's just amazing, you know, just amazing. I just applaud LeBron for his efforts and what he's doing
yeah.
and taking a stand to try and be a beacon of hope.
And again, he's moving to L.A. He's already there. He's playing for a whole totally different team. He could have easily said, hey, I'm out on the West Coast. You know, I'm not worried about what's going on in Ohio. Yeah,
open it up.
Yeah, yeah. He's not forgetting about, you know, the people in his community where he came from.
Yeah.
And that's just outstanding. That's just outstanding. I can't say enough. Now, what I do want to ask before I go into maybe a little bit more detail about it, Michael Jordan. What do you know about Michael Jordan as far as what he's done?
Community service. They changed the street down in North Carolina from whatever it was to Jordan Avenue.
And what does it do for people?
I don't know what Michael's doing.
Legend has it now. Legend has it that he does a lot of stuff underneath the radar, behind the scenes, you know. And I guess one of the reasons why a lot of athletes that are in the spotlight, that are fortunate enough to make a lot of money and change lives and influence people, I think one of the reasons why you don't see more of it is because there is a type of peer pressure amongst those, the haves and the have-nots, not to, you know, give back. And I'd rather concentrate on, how you said, like LeBron doing, than those who are, you know, allegedly do things, but we don't know. Mm-hmm. LeBron is one of my favorite athletes of all time because of the image that he projects with his family. I mean, you see, there was a Twitter out about, you know, him warming up with his son.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just beautiful, man.
It is,
you know?
Man. And some people didn't like that, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Some people didn't like that. And I'm
how do you not like that?
Exactly.
You know? How do you not like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're really trying to find fault if you do that. I mean,
that's how Steph Curry was with his dad, Dale.
Yeah, I mean.
And then check this out, man. From a black man perspective, mm-hmm. you know, we hear a lot of times how, you know, we're missing from the home mm-hmm. and everything. And then when you see outstanding relationships like LeBron and his kids mm-hmm. and how he's involved and everything, he gets criticized for it.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, he has had commercials
sure.
with his family in the commercials. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know what strings he had to pull or yeah. what requests he had to put in to get that, but he said, I want my family in these commercials.
And the thing about it, go ahead and finish, Maureen,
okay.
and then I'll come in.
And he also said that opening a school, and I'm an educator,
yeah.
so I know the impact that education will have on your life as far as your life trajectory, and where you're reaching your dharma and the role that plays in it. He said that this is one of the
greatest achievements.
Yes,
yeah, yeah,
yes. Yep. You know, so I mean, it's not the yeah. championships,
right?
You know what I mean? It's
right.
like his family, the births of his children,
yeah.
opening a school, you know, because he himself had bouts with truancy, not because his fault, because he was young. So he's not saying I'm in primary school. I'm not going to school today. No, it was situations that were beyond his control.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and right. like you said, he could have just left
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, left a legacy behind or even closed the door. He said he's going to go back. He's going to be there. I wish I could have been there to support that.
Yeah, and, you know, mm-hmm. fellas, we have less than 2 minutes before we close out the show. And, again, I would like to thank both of you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me with a legend.
And,
thanks.
I mean, I'm not sure if I need to ask Bill to leave or not.
Oh, heck no.
But I'll think about that. And before we close out, I do want to get back to why I asked about Jordan, because Jordan is one of the biggest figures in sports, and so is LeBron. But I just see LeBron as much more active. And when you have that type of platform and people know what you're doing, you can make a bigger difference by people knowing, I believe, because you could get people motivated to also contribute to the cause as well. And I would just like to see that more from a Michael Jordan standpoint, because I hear more about Jordan's shoes than I hear about him being involved in the community. I'm not saying he doesn't do it, but I would just like for it to be more public, because I think it goes a lot farther. But Warren, we have less than a minute. If you want to take 10 seconds to wrap up anything, you know, I would like to just throw that out there for you, and then you rock.
I'm not going to touch that last topic no more. We're going to concentrate. I prefer to concentrate on the good and the one that is doing it. I can't applaud LeBron enough. You know, if I could be in his shoes, I would do the same exact thing. He's awesome for doing that.
Okay, Rock.
To echo what he said and what you said, man,
the Bible says, let your light so shine that they may follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And then see the Christ in you to follow Christ.
All right.
And so when you have that platform,
yeah,
you got to let that light shine so you can help others come along.
Right.
And like you said, Jordan's of the age where he got to throw it out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
say, this is what I'm doing with my man LeBron, and we're going to make a difference because of where our country's at.
And since we're talking big-time athletes, too, even Tiger Woods. I see Tiger Woods out there doing
he
great
got
things
school. Yeah.
as well. But, again, awesome. We're going to wrap this show up, guys. Thanks again for being here. LeBron James is the man. And I'll see if Bill will be back next week.
Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.